Our scripture reading today comes from Psalms and Deuteronomy. First, Psalms 89. I will sing of the Lord's great love forever. With my mouth I will make your faithfulness known through all generations. I will declare that your love stands firm forever, that you have established your faithfulness in heaven itself. You said, I have made a covenant with my chosen one. I have sworn to David, my servant. I will establish your line forever and make your throne firm through all generations. Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors to give to them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged.
Ever so often, there comes a time in the life of a church where that church comes to a crossroads, where the church has to make a decision on whether she's going to build off of the past and walk boldly into the future, or if the church is just going to stay where it's at. And I think Southside has reached one of those crossroads moments. Our church here at Southside has two big strengths, I think. Number one, one of our great strengths is our past. We've got a great past here at our church. If you're new to our church, let me tell you a little bit about our past. Our church began in 1892. It's been around for almost 127 years. And it started because there was a gentleman named I.L. Van Zandt and a few others who decided there needed to be a church planted on the south side of Fort Worth. And so they started a church, and it met in different locations. For a while, it met at the edge of College and Luda Street near Trimble Tech High School. And then in 1959, this building was built here at 2101 Hemp Hill Street. And this has been our home ever since. And one thing that's fascinating about our church's history is that for 127 years, it has always been located in this neighborhood, in the near south side. That this is a church for this neighborhood. And down through the decades, there have been powerful teachers and preachers and great elders and adults and individuals and families that have been faithful, that have been strong, that have been wonderful leaders. But I think we could say that the reason today why this church is still in existence all these years later from 1892 is because of the grace of God. The psalmist talked about the grace of God in Psalm 89, and I don't know if you caught it, but behind the scenes there's an imagery. It talks about that the grace of God, the loving kindness of God has been established. That's the imagery of a house. A house built on a foundation that has been built brick by brick. And what he's saying is that house has been built by the loving kindness and mercy of God. And I think we could say this house has been built by the loving kindness and mercy of God. That we are who we are because God has been gracious to this church. And because of that, down through the centuries, the faithfulness of God has been told to generations. But at the same time, we have another strength. And that strength is we have a future. We have a future. We don't just have to talk about our past. We can talk about the future. And that's a good thing, church. It's a good thing. Over the past 20 years or so, God has given us this vision of being a missional church. Started maybe all the way back to 1892, but recently it started when Jane Pearson walked across the street from the Salvation Army First Choice Program that at that time was right across the street from us. And it's continued now in so many different ways, whether it's through dozens of us mentoring fourth graders at Days of All Elementary, or whether it's dozens of us going to Ecuador or to Honduras or Africa or Ukraine, or whether it means participating in our food pantry and clothing ministries or our hope ministries or helping out other people, ministering to children. In so many different ways, our church has caught a vision of being a place of mission, mercy, and transformation. That's our vision, right, church? And it means, number one, we want to be a place of mission. We want to be a place where every single person here feels a calling on their life to be a partner in the gospel who is seeking to proclaim the gospel in word and deed to this neighborhood and city. Number two, we want to be a place of mercy, a place where anybody can come. It doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter what you've been through or what you've done. You can come here, and we're going to love you, and we're going to accept you, and we're going to welcome you. And then number three, we want to be a place of transformation. We want to be a place where God's Spirit is at work, as Josh talked about, changing people's lives, where you're not the same after you've been here for a little while, but instead, by doing spiritual disciplines together, you're being formed and shaped into the image of Christ. And let me just tell you, I've been here 13 years. It's been a great joy of my life to watch as our church has leaned into that vision of being mission, mercy, and transformation. We've seen some incredible things here, haven't we, at Southside? We've seen people baptized. How many people have gone under the water behind that screen? We've seen marriages reconciled. We've seen lives changed. People who once were in addiction, now clean and sober. We've seen children grow up and come to know the Lord. We've seen so many wonderful things. And I'm convinced that God's not through with us yet. I was hoping for a hearty amen there, okay? Okay, good. In Deuteronomy 31, Terry read to us that story of Moses talking to the people, and there's some uncertainty among the people, uncertainty about the future, because Moses is stepping down from his leadership role, and Joshua is assuming that leadership role, and what is that going to mean for the people? Also, they're on the cusp of entering into the promised land, the land of Canaan. What's that going to mean for the people? For the past 40 years, they've been a nomadic people who have lived in tents. Now they're going to be going into a land and settling in towns and cities, and the people felt nervous about that. What's it going to be like when Joshua leads us? What's it going to be like when we get into the Canaan land? What is it going to be like living in cities instead of tents? Can we handle this? Are we going to survive? Are we going to thrive? There was a lot of anxiety, and Moses speaks into that anxiety, and he says, be strong and courageous. Don't worry. Don't fear. Don't be concerned. Don't be anxious. Be strong and courageous. Why, Moses? How can you say that? How do you know everything is going to be okay? And then Moses gives this line. For the Lord goes before you. And Moses was telling the people, as you cross the Jordan River, God's already over there. When you settle in those cities and towns, God will have already prepared the way. As you try to set up a new life with a new leader, God is out in front preparing you for the journey. And your responsibility, Israel, is simply to be faithful to God's future. Faithful to what God is leading you toward. Well, over the past several years, as we've leaned into that missional vision that I described earlier, we've seen some growth, haven't we? Praise God for that. Often on Sunday mornings, kind of like this morning, our auditorium is pretty filled. When we have our Sunday school program, every room in our building is used. Did you know that? When we have our Sunday school. We've seen our ministries begin to thrive over the years. We've been able to reach out to a number of different kinds of people. We have an awesome deaf ministry over here. I love that you guys are here. We have an excellent hope ministry that is one of the crown jewels of our church. Amen. Thank you. I need some amens up here. We've just been starting to reach out to those who live outdoors. And I got some good news. One of the guys we've been working with, your partner in the gospel here at Southside, James, who's sitting there in the back, he's been living outdoors just recently. He got his own apartment for the very first time. Praise God for that. And we've been seeing these kinds of ministries grow. Our children's ministry is growing. It's pretty much growing from over here, by the way. And I know it's growing because for the past month, the only thing I've been able to get done is go visit new babies. And I'm still behind. And it's been awesome to see that. And these efforts of growth and these growing ministries and all these kinds of things, seeing our building used so much, it's helped the ministers and elders realize that if we're going to follow God into His future of being a church of mission, mercy, and transformation, a church that's a city church, as I like to describe this, a church where there's rich and poor, where there's white, black, and Hispanic, where there are people from many different backgrounds, a church where we're walking alongside the addicted, where we're welcoming children from our neighborhood, where we're loving one another and a great big family. If we're going to be a city church like that, the ministers and elders realized we've got to pay attention to our facility. This really came home to me a couple years ago, actually. I preached a series of three sermons that I called Vision 2.0. And it's in those three sermons that we made some commitments as a church. One commitment that we made is that we were going to be a church of this neighborhood, a church of a three-mile radius around this building, that was going to be our primary mission. That was going to be our focus. Number two, we made a commitment that we were going to love all of our neighbors, whether those neighbors were poor or whether those neighbors were wealthy. As our neighborhood changes around us, we were going to love and show mercy to all of our neighbors. And then number three, we made a commitment to discipleship, that we wanted to be intentional about making disciples. That's one of the reasons why Matthew is our discipleship minister, because we want to be intentional about making disciples. Well, as I preached those three sermons and got us all fired up about Vision 2.0, I was having a conversation with Johnny and Lindsay Gardner, and Lindsay made this comment to me. She said, you know, this is all really great about engaging the neighborhood and inviting the neighborhood in. She said, where are we going to put them? And it dawned on me, where are we going to put them? I don't think that God wants us to be a church where we're just satisfied. Where we say, well, we've done some good things in our past, and our building is pretty full most Sundays, and things seem to be going generally well, and so let's just kind of sit back and relax and coast. I don't think God wants us to be that kind of church. In fact, I think if we try to be that kind of church, God is going to chastise us for it. Instead, God has gone before us. And He is walking, and He is leading us into the future, and He's got more things for us to do. And if we're going to be faithful to God's future, then we've got to take a hard look at our facility. I would love to dream and to see, what does God want us to do in the future? And I don't know. I mean, I've got my own ideas, but I'm excited about what God could do. Maybe God wants us to be a church that really is a model of how races can work together. Our city needs that. Maybe God wants our children's ministry to double, not only from our own kids, but from the kids around in our neighborhood. Maybe God wants us to be a place where teenagers come from diverse backgrounds and are learning about Jesus and growing in the Lord. Maybe God wants us to be a place where college students are trained and discipled and then sent out all over the world. Maybe God wants us to be a place where we are a hub of community ministries, even more so than we are today. Well, if any of those kinds of visions are going to come true, there's got to be attention given to our facility. I'm so thankful for the people in our past here at Southside who have been faithful. People who have led, who have strengthened our church, and who have been faithful all along the years. And it's because of them that we are where we are today. And I want to just do a little illustration to demonstrate the faithfulness of our past. If you can just bear with me for just a moment, I'm going to invite Bethany to come up here. She's going to be my little assistant. And we're going to do a little illustration. Hold that. Okay, I'm going to use a rope, but I'm not going to hurt anybody. Okay, so just scoot back. I'm not a lasso cowboy guy, so this is going to take some time. Okay, so this rope represents Southside. And what I want to do is I want to demonstrate all of the decades here at Southside that are represented. So we're going to start with the 1940s. And where's Jane Anthony? Jane Anthony, come on up as fast as you can, but don't hurt yourself. Jane Anthony, you can come over here and use this if you want. Jane came to Southside when, how old, seven or eight, and that was in the 1940s. Isn't that incredible? Southside was a little different then. Okay, Bethany's going to give you something to wear around your neck. And then you hold this rope. Okay. Next, we're going to go 1950s. Pat Barton, come on up. Pat Barton and her late husband, Jim, came in the 1950s. And there was a whole little group of you guys in the 1950s, right? I know Gene and Jeanette Kyle were here during that time. The Burkitts, I think, were here during that time. Such a wonderful little group. So come on up, stand next to your best friend, Jane Anthony. Y'all been friends for a long time. A long time. Let me help. Y'all are old? That's what Jane said. Y'all are old. Okay. All right. So step over this rope and grab a hold, because you took hold in the 1950s. All right. 1960s, Jim Gardner was born. Those crazy 60s. And that's where Jim came from. Jim was actually born and immediately came to Southside. This building was built in 1959, and so when he came, it was a brand new building, and he was a, were you, did they have nursery facilities back then? Oh, you were five, okay, sorry. Well, you probably were still in the nursery then too, weren't you? So he took hold of the rope in the 1960s, 1970s. Okay, my 1970s person was gonna be Marilyn Hatcher. Is she, okay, she's here. Because Marilyn was working hard, as she's always working hard, and I don't know if she was going to be here, but Kent and Marilyn came in the 1970s. And in fact, she told me that she came in the same month with Jerry and Chloe Carter and the Sosbys and maybe a few others. And she said at that time, it was all old people in the 1970s. And Kent and Marilyn came, and y'all come down here, Marilyn. Marilyn said, they came and they brought life to the church. And Marilyn, let me just say, you keep bringing life to our church in so many ways. All right, 1980s, Joan Smith, come on up. So in the 80s, Kent and Joan Smith came. And there was a number of couples, right, that came in the 80s during this time. And y'all came, and didn't someone throw you a shower, and that's how you, didn't the Bullocks throw you a shower, and that's, she was pregnant, and that's how you get people to come to your church, throw them showers. And so 1980s, Joan and Kent took hold of the rope. Okay. 1990s, Jessica Guadian, come up here. So Jessica Guadian, back then her name was Jessica Padilla, and she came, I think, she was in middle school at the time, got involved in the youth group, went to Camp Blue Haven. They were doing that back in the 1990s. She was in the same youth group as Becca Weatherford, and she's still here and now has kids of her own who are in the youth group, who go to Camp Blue Haven. And so that's cool. Jessica Guadian. 2000s, we're going to go with Owen Brewington. Come on up here, Owen. Owen's in our youth group. He was born in 2006, and this is the only church he knows. Yeah, give him a round of applause. Okay, y'all going to have to scoot a little bit this way. Okay. 2010s, Oliver Walton. Where's Oliver? Come on up here, Oliver. Oliver is five, right, Oliver? So he was born in the 2010s. There's your sign right there. Here's your sign. Hold your rope. Hold that rope. You're holding on the rope, right? Okay. 2020s. Gabriella Marcos. Come on up here. Gabriella was baptized. You can come with her if you want. Gabriella was baptized this year, and she's expecting a baby to be born in 2020. Isn't that cool? All right. They haven't named the baby boy yet, so we'll leave that to you guys. Okay. Look at this. Isn't it cool to be a part of a church that has 9 decades represented in it? That's pretty neat. Now, here's the point. Yeah, sure. Now, here's the point that I want to make. In the 1940s, In the 1950s, there were some good elders, and there were some good leaders, and there were some good families, and they were faithful to God's future, to where God was leading the church. And because they were faithful, when Jim Gardner came along, we had a new building. And in the 1960s and the 1970s, there were some good elders, some good preachers, there were some good families, good individuals, and they were faithful to where God was leading the church in the future. And because they were faithful, when Joan Smith came, there was a fellowship hall. In the 1980s and the 1990s, there were some good elders, and there were some good leaders, there's good families, good individuals, and they were faithful to where God was leading the church, so that when Owen Brewington came, there was a renovated auditorium that he could sit in and worship the Lord. And so here we are today, 2010s and 2020s. And there's going to be a baby that's born next year, and there's going to be more babies that are born. There's going to be people that are going to come next decade and also in the 2030s, and they're going to look back to us now. And they're going to say, were we faithful to the future that God was leading us to? Were we faithful? Were we responsible? And church, here's the convicting part. When that child grows up and looks back at us, and when the people that come to our church in the 2020s and 2030s, when they look back at us, I want them to say about us, they were faithful. They were faithful to God's future. We're going to show a video at this time that's going to describe how we can be faithful to God's future moving forward. Y'all can drop the rope. You can go back.
60 years ago, a faithful body of believers had a vision. It was a vision to put down deep roots in what was then the south side of Fort Worth. A vision to put down a lasting footprint at 2101 Hemp Hill. That footprint, still in the corner of Hemp Hill and Hawthorne, is what our body today still comfortably calls home. Growth, progress, sprawl, and time have given our church new meaning and purpose as God's church located here. Although we're still known as Southsiders, the term is not really descriptive of where we fall on the map today. We now find ourselves in 2020, smack dab right in the middle of a vibrant city, still in our starter home, built for us 60 years ago by faithful servants. Sure, there have been improvements made along the way. Fellowship hall, mercy wing, and the usual paint, carpet, and touch-ups necessary to tend to the place. But not since the 60s. Has there been a vision similar to that of our founding servants that will position God's church in this location for generations to come. Today, I'm happy to announce that we're all about to get the opportunity to share in a vision like that, which was experienced decades ago. This is a vision that will badly renovate our current space and add to the footprint that we work out of here. The starter home has gotten a little crowded. Today we begin the process of the gathering of funds necessary to accomplish the 2020 vision that you'll be hearing more about in the future. We anticipate that the need is going to be $1.5 million. Badly needed renovations will be done to all downstairs and upstairs restroom facilities. We'll add a new multi-purpose addition of approximately 5,000 square feet to accommodate middle and high school needs. Our entire upstairs area of the building will be renovated and devoted to primary age children and younger. Toddler nursery facilities, clearly in need of help, will be expanded and renovated. It's a bold vision, one that we've not undertaken in at least 60 years, but one that will make generations of Southsiders coming behind us grateful for the vision that we're taking today. Preparations for the beginning of work have begun. Seed monies have already been committed. We need everyone's participation in the effort. Our plea is that all will be on board with the vision and participate to whatever level you're able. Our timeline for giving is flexible, amounts, large or small, are important, and the need is real. I look forward to working the vision with each and every one of you.
When my family came to Southside in 1960, I was only 5 years old. The main building on our campus here at Hemp Hill was new, less than a year old, and the children's classrooms were new and fresh. And looking back, I now can see how the newness of our facility made it so much easier for our Bible school teachers to focus on what was really important, and that was teaching us about Jesus and his love for us. Over the past 60 years, I have witnessed Southside's rich heritage in its desire to teach children the gospel of God's saving grace. For my sisters and I, we have been blessed to have a mother that has been a part of this heritage in sharing her love for Jesus with literally hundreds, if not thousands, of children that she taught in our Bible classes for a number of years. And now, even today, it is a blessing to see this heritage passed down in my own family as Dana and I watch Becca and William minister to the children that come here to Southside to be a part of our Bible school ministry.
My name is Becca Weatherford, and I have been attending Southside since my birth in July of 1980. I feel very fortunate to have grown up within the walls of this building. It is here that the foundation of my faith was laid. Being taught to love the Bible in the nursery, being taught to be quiet and listen in children's worship, being taught the important Bible stories in the classrooms upstairs, being taught to joyfully praise God with my voice in Bible hour, and being taught to apply the Bible in the 7 years that I was in the youth group. Many churches do a great job of teaching the Bible to children, but I think the thing that makes Southside special for me is that if you allow yourself to really plug in, Southside can be like a great big family. Felt like I grew up with dozens of grandpas and grandmas, aunts and uncles, cousins and siblings. I felt like more than just my parents were celebrating my victories and comforting me in my defeats. I felt accountable to the older people who had invested in me and to the younger kids who were looking up to me. I appreciated being exposed to the wide variety of wisdom and perspective that comes from fellowshipping with people from all ages, races, and backgrounds. I now am getting to raise my 4 children in the same environment, and I am so thankful that we have a place that we can all come together.
Hi, my name is Stella Weatherford, and I've been going to Southside since I was born in October of 2008. I like Southside because my best friends go here. I like the Tabitha class. Tabitha class is a girls' Bible study where we do service projects for different groups at the church. We cook, we sew, and we have speakers come talk to us about different ways to serve. I've also enjoyed doing my memory work in the Riley's Bible class. It is a fun, challenging class. It is a great feeling seeing my friends and doing memory work.
Well, those already working behind the scenes on this are excited about the possibilities. The goal of the majority of this vision is to tend to the needs of our babies, children, and teens. What better investment to make for future generations? For a church that has participated in what we term call to light giving for the past several years, the call being announced today is still to the light. For a few years, we've placed an outreach focus on our youth and the youth around our community. The response has been lives led to the light by faithful servants in this church. I've seen those children, and so have you. They include children who are being mentored to, read to, and to whom Christ's love is being shown on a regular basis by those in this fellowship of believers. We've experienced what light can do. Our giving effort will be called our 2019 and possibly even our 2020 call to light effort. Terry Kyle advises me that we continue to have available resources from our prior year's giving to handle the continuation of support for global missions efforts. Nothing changes there. This giving being announced today will be directed at continuing to shine the light at Hemp Hill and Hawthorne in a new and a visionary way. Our emphasis on those so important to us, the children, the ones that we have here and those with whom we share our worship together. We acknowledge that the resources given over the course of this effort may not total the entire $1.5 million. The facility that we currently enjoy was built with sacrificial offering, and guess what, with a little debt. The vision faithful servants had before us required debt to get the job done. We too may have a little debt to accomplish this vision. We currently have a property that is completely unencumbered and has no debt at all. What a nice way to be, but that does not necessarily mean that standing pat should be our strategy. Any super donors are encouraged to keep our debt either to a minimum or out of the equation altogether. Super donors are welcome. It should be a great winter and spring leading into this effort. I look forward to not only hearing the monetary results of the vision that we're putting out there for you today, but also to the excitement that should come with our purposeful adherence to the Lord Jesus' own words, "It is more blessed to give than to receive." How about a wink?
Well, if you're like me, one thing that stood out from that video, other than the word super donor, is a number, a really big number. As Joe Bullock told me, a seven-figure number, $1.5 million. I didn't hear any gasps, I don't think, but it's a big number. That number's going to do a lot. We're going to talk more about what it's going to do during our combined adult class right after worship, but it's going to completely renovate our second floor and make it a fabulous children's ministry area. It's going to renovate some of our kitchen and also all of our bathrooms in the back part of our building. It's going to add on to our building and allow us to have a multi-purpose room that could be a place of activity, it could be a place of community ministry. It's almost going to be kind of like our second front door to the community. It's going to allow us, maybe if we want to have multiple services, we can do those kinds of things and we can continue to grow. It's going to offer us a lot of potential, but still, it is a big number. But I've got some good news for you. Because the ministers and elders got together and we prayed about this, and we talked about this, and we realized that if we really feel like God is leading us into the future, the leaders need to start by being faithful to God's future. And so we got together and we all made our own pledges towards this effort. And I'm pleased to tell you that the ministers and elders have already pledged over $200,000 towards this effort. And the news just keeps getting better. Because we've already started some discussions with some people who maybe attended our church in the past, maybe grew up here, but maybe have moved on to other places. And we asked them, you know, would you want to be a part of this effort because you love this church and you love the people of our church? And through those conversations, we have gotten pledges for another over $200,000. So, as we begin, we already have around $450,000 pledged towards this effort. So we're on our way. And that tells me God's behind this thing, right? God's behind it. But there's another side to me that as I hear this and as I reflect on this, I wonder, okay, is it really a good steward to spend this kind of money on our building? Should we not be raising money like this to provide Bibles for the world, or to support global missions efforts, or to do benevolent kinds of work? And maybe there's a bone in your body that feels the same way. And if you feel that way, I understand, and frankly, sometimes I agree with you. But then I think about what happens in this building. In this building, children learn the name of Jesus, sometimes for the very first time. In this building, people are celebrated for getting clean and sober. In this building, a hungry family is given food, and a family that is naked is given clothes. In this building, children can get a free haircut and receive school supplies and a sack lunch. In this building, missionaries come together to talk about future plans. In this building, parents get licensed for foster care, neighbors receive rent assistance, and turkeys are handed out for Thanksgiving. In this building, college students worship, and teens play together, and widows and widowers find community. In this building, people find new life in baptism. Fervent, and I mean fervent, prayers are offered, and the communion of Jesus is shared. In this building, the deaf hear the word of God, the blind see the glory of God, and the homeless find the family of God. And when I think about all that happens in this building, that when we add on and renovate this building, those kinds of things are just going to continue. And in fact, there's going to be more. I can't wait to see all the good that God is going to do in and through and because of this building. He's ahead of us. He's leading the way. It's His future, and our responsibility is to be faithful to God's future. Let's pray together. Lord, we have a big challenge ahead of us. Lord, it's going to require all of us pulling together with all of our resources, working together to try to make this happen. But Lord, we believe that you've led us here to this point. We believe you are ahead of us and before us. And Lord, we're trying without worry and anxiety to be strong and courageous and to believe in your loving kindness and grace. And so we ask that you would help us in this. Lord, I pray that this process of raising this money would be a very unifying experience. I pray that this will draw us together as a church and make us feel more like a family. I pray, Lord, that when this is all said and done, that we won't look back and say, well, I'm glad it's over, but instead, we will be amazed at all of the good things you're bringing about because we stepped out in faith. Lord, you're a God who encourages us to risk. And we pray that as we take this risk, that you would be with us, and you would strengthen us, and you would help us, and you would show us your glory along the way, and our faith might be strengthened. Lord, bless this body of believers. Help us, bind us together for your mission, so that we might show mercy, and so that transformation might happen. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, God has a future. But also God is concerned about the present. And maybe you came this morning and there's something on your heart that you're dealing with in the present that you need encouragement for. We're going to have ministers and elders around this auditorium. And you can just walk to one of them, let them know what you're dealing with, what burdens on your heart. They will pray for you. They'll encourage you. Or maybe you're ready to be baptized into Christ. We would love to witness that in this building, right? We would love to see that. And so during this next song, if you're ready to take that step, just come to the front and we'll help you do that. Let's stand and let's sing.